Come on, then.
Knights and knaves, from Camelot to Concord.
All right, we'll call it a draw.
Welcome to the Warriors Roundtable, delivered by DoorDash, your door to all things basketball.
On the right wing, in and out dribble, between the legs, offer step, wide open, left wing, three, Gucci!
Behold, King Kevin Danner.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, I'm very nice.
And the saint, Gary St. Jean.
Welcome to the Warriors Roundtable Show, delivered by DoorDash, your door to all things basketball. Kevin Dana, Gary St. Jean kicking it with you on a Thursday evening, talking all things Golden State Shooty Hoop from now till 7. Hit us up if you want to join the conversation. 888-957-9570 is the number. Again, that number, 888-957-9570. Saying, let's start with this. The six-game road trip is done. The grueling 17 games in 30-day slate to start the schedule is done. And look, you take a split of a six-game road trip any day of the week. Right. I say, job well done.
Well, I think they're at the number you predicted before they went on the trip. And any NBA coach on a six-game trip will be happy with a 3-3, unless you're Oklahoma City. But the Warriors now have played 12 road games, and that's the most in the NBA.
It is.
And now they're home for a little home cooking over a turkey time. And, you know, we're going to debate or talk about all these games on the road. Some maybe you thought you were going to get, you didn't get. Maybe you get one that surprised you. So it kind of evens itself out, but I think you and I are a little bit greedy, and we're hoping they could have snuck one of these out the last two nights.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Sate. Like, I was thinking 3-3 going in. That included a 1-2 start with Oklahoma City and San Antonio, but they went 2-1. We'll get into the San Antonio wins in a little bit. And then you beat New Orleans, and you're 3-1. And then, yeah, to borrow your phrase, you get greedy. You want to go 4-2. You want to split that back-to-back in Florida. Unfortunately for the Warriors, losing both in Orlando and in Miami. This is what Steve Kerr had to say on his takeaways from this road trip. Then, Saint, we'll get your thoughts.
Well, there's plenty of data. There's plenty of film. I was just most pleased with, after that OKC game, just felt like our level of fight and competition was where it needed to be. And so we were able to, you know, obviously split the six games on the trip coming off that beatdown in OKC. And so I like where we are now better as a team, but we have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, that's as usual. Steve breaks it down in great fashion. And, you know, as a coach, you go into that OKC game and you're saying, hey, this is the best. Come on, we've been playing pretty good. Let's go in here and really compete with these guys. And they played hard, but they just didn't play well. Now, OKC has done that to a number of teams. Just before that, they handled the Lakers the exact same way.
Smoked them.
And you're a little discouraged. But then you move on, and it shows you the character of the team. They had a gathering. They talked it over. And they played two superb games in San Antonio. Those were really fun games to watch.
Yeah, they were fun to watch because Stephen Curry was en fuego. So we talked about his 46-point performance on Wednesday. He backed it up with a cool 49 on Friday, including the game-winning free throws. And look, I was doing a Santa Cruz Warriors game that night. And I got hit up by friends. I try to not know the score of a Warriors game when I go back and watch it, but I got a text from my friend Barrett said, great win tonight. And he wasn't talking about Santa Cruz because Santa Cruz did not win that night. So I knew he was talking about the Golden State Warriors game. I watched that knowing the Warriors were going to win, and I still found myself at times in the fourth quarter asking myself, am I sure Golden State wins? Because, I mean, they were down 10 the fourth quarter, and it just kind of – it was like from that perspective, it was a textbook mid-2010s Warriors win because they'd be down 10, 9 in the fourth quarter sometimes, and you wouldn't doubt that they would come back and win those games. I mean, I remember thinking back to a game in San Antonio the year they handed the Spurs their first home loss. They went like 39-2. at home 1 year. This is the 15-16 season. Spurs got up like 20 in the first quarter. There was never a doubt in my mind the Warriors were going to come back and win this game. But, I mean, that fourth quarter performance, to come back from 10 down after beating them on the front end of that baseball series, I thought was really impressive.
Well, what can we tie into the game you talked about and the one just a week, 10 days ago? There's a guy who put on a cape.
Yes.
And he was Superman. And he was then, and he is now. And I hope he's okay injury-wise, but I keep saying this to everybody. I said, just sit down and watch this guy play. Maybe open a bottle of wine, you know, and just be happy you're getting to see the greatest shooter ever to play the game. And Kev, we can talk about his usage of the high screen. And he causes a switch. And if he doesn't like it, he gets a pick, repick. And then if he likes that, fine, he takes that guy off and dances with it. We've talked about the underrated point of his handle. And then that step back, the footwork, is just as good as there is in the NBA. And man, it was fun to watch him. I just loved it.
Yeah, it was incredible theater. It was a cup win. It keeps the Warriors alive for the Emirates NBA Cup. And we'll talk about that more as this hour goes on. Again, if you want to hit us up, 888-957-9570, reminding you the Warriors 2025-26 season is presented by Kaiser Permanente. So they get the wins in San Antonio. And we discussed it last week. You're circling that New Orleans game on Sunday, and you're like,
yeah,
you can't let what happened in Indiana and Milwaukee happen in New Orleans. It just so happened that they fired Willie Green the day or two, I think it was 2 days before that game. So James Borrego, who I thought did a really nice job in Charlotte as the head coach, you know, he's the last coach that I think took them to the play-in. Maybe Clifford got them 1 year, but you know, he's an accomplished coach in his own right. And thanks to Moses Moody, they took care of business. And how about that first quarter from Moses Moody? 7 of 8 from deep.
Yeah, you know, you're worried about a game like that being a trap game. That you're going to say, this is okay. We're going to take care of business. One, you always got to remember when there's a coaching change, you're going to get a burst from your players.
Yes.
No doubt about it. That happens all the time in the NBA. And then you bring up Moody, and he set the tone for the game. You know, I think you and I are right there on his fan club. I like the maturity that he plays with. He's composed. He knows where the good shot is. They weren't getting up on him. The guys knew he was hot. They found him at a number of spots, corner, wing, and top. And he just plays solid defense every single night. And I think he's worked his way into this spot that he's in right now. And I applaud him. You know, he could have gotten down because he wasn't getting as many minutes, was injured for a while, but he's come in there and done a stellar job.
Yeah. You mentioned maturity. We've talked about Moses' maturity all the time. I mean, Bob Fitzgerald on TV calls him Moses Maturity Moody at times. I'm curious, as a former GM, as a coach, if you were to know nothing about Moses Moody and you just watched him play like 5 games or something, how old would you think he is?
Probably 28, 29.
Okay.
In that ballpark.
He's 23.
That's really the point where the game slows down for a lot of players. Sometimes it's earlier, but you look at this guy. I never see him frazzled. Never.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to get greedy. I want him, like another guy we're going to talk about in a while, in Kuminga. I want to see his assist numbers go up. I want to see him touch the paint and create for others when he gets crowded. I want to see him get on the glass a little bit. And I think he's a key young piece to this franchise.
Yeah, with respect to Moses Moody and the rebounding and assist numbers, like you look at his frame, I think it's a 7'1 wingspan. And you look at that and say, this is a guy who can go up and get rebounds in traffic because he is a tough guy. He can finish through physicality. I mean, we saw it in the Miami game. He yammed on the Heat. That was a big dunk in the second quarter. Where do you think he could be rebounding-wise?
Well, I think you got to be conscious of the fact that a lot of times you're playing a small lineup. And look at the change in the NBA game. long shots, create long rebounds. Be aware of that. I think Steph, for his size, is a very good rebounder. He understands where shots are taken, like a corner shot. It's not likely to come back to you. That's why a lot of teams, when they contest a corner three, they call running out. You run at the shooter and you take off. And on a rebounding situation, your first look is long to a guy like that. Your second look is middle, and then the most conservative is an outlet to the strong side wing. But he's got all these tools. He can get in there and hit a little bit. And again, I think his vision is very good, his feel. So it's, you know what? You get repetition, you get comfortable, and that's when your game grows and gets better.
You bring up an interesting thing about how you contest corner threes. I think this was a Jim Barnettism. It was Barnett, Fitz. It was somebody within the Warriors broadcasting circle where I'd hear miss corner threes on one end lead to layups on the other end. And is it because you're taught to just flat out go the other way after the contest?
Yes. And, you know, a guy in the, say, in the left corner, he's right-handed, the majority of them. So you go to that hand and you contest there. And then you take off. And your players know through practice and repetition that that guy is gone. And you're not worried about the fact that it's five-on-four rebounding because you don't think it's going back to the corner. It's going to come to the opposite side or straight out. So it's an old adage in the NBA. I remember Nelly teaching that in the early 80s, which is now 45 years ago.
Yeah.
and you know, that was Celtic basketball, where they fast break. And it didn't hurt to have Bill Russell, who sometimes got 30 or 40 rebounds in a game.
Yeah, no, he's a pretty good rebounder and outlet passer in his own right. One more thing from that New Orleans game. It was great to see Golden State win a game when Steph only scored 9 points, which, you know, obviously he doesn't score 9 points very often, and the Warriors don't win very often when he doesn't score a lot of points.
No, that's a great breakdown. And Jimmy Butler was just having his way. He did it in all ways that you can think of. And then other guys stepped up and played well. I commend the rest of the guys. They knew it was a big game. And, you know, Draymond's energy, just on both ends of the floor, his vision. And it was a game that, you know, I think there was really a positive attitude from the Pelicans. And they thought they were right in there. So you had to put them away because they thought they could get it. And, you know, they've played pretty well since. You know, Williamson's come back, and they were pretty darn strong the other night.
Well, men's college basketball rivals face off as UCLA battles Cal at the Empire Classic live at Chase Center on Tuesday, November 25th. Get your tickets now at chasecenter.com. With all due respect to Natalie Nicasse, the Valkyries head coach, go Bears in that one. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this 0-2 swing to Florida. We'll look ahead to the NBA Cup. Taking your calls again, 888-957-9570. When we return right here on 95.7 The Game.
Sir Kevin and Sir Gary welcome you back to the Warriors Roundtable.
Launches a three. Gucci!
On the valiant 95.7 The Game.
Tis the season for buckets. Give the ultimate gift this year, a Holiday Hoops mini plan. Visit warriors.com or call 888-GSW-HOOP to purchase now. And thankfully, there are going to be a lot of home games on the horizon for Golden State, starting a five-game homestand on Friday. We'll get into the homestand coming up in a little bit here on Warriors Roundtable. Again, if you want to hit us up and talk some Golden State basketball with the Saintly One and myself, the number 888-957-9570. So the road trip came to a conclusion last night in the 305 in Miami, a 110-96 loss to the Heat. Incredible effort, Saint, from this team. I mean, and this one did not start pretty. I mean, I even texted our producer, R.C. Davis, a little bit concerned, knowing obviously that the guys they didn't have, not available, Steph, Draymond, Jimmy, so on and so forth. But missing your first 12 shots and getting down 20-4, not really getting any good looks. It was not a good start, but you really got to credit the Warriors for taking a lead in the fourth quarter and then, you know, some bang your head against the wall mistakes with the turnovers, 23 in total, 9 in the fourth quarter. But, hey, I mean, going into that game, there were three things I wanted. Be competitive. Give up under 40 points each quarter or even 30. It was going to be tough to give up under 30 each quarter when you're as undermanned as they are, but under 40 because of the pace that the Heat play at. And don't turn the ball over a million times. Now, they turned it over maybe 999,999 times compared to a million, but they were competitive. They showed some fight. The Warriors bench, the vets were cheering the guys on, coaching. Jimmy Butler was a coach out there. Same could be said for Steph and Draymond. So a lot of good signs from a loss on Wednesday night.
Well, those back-to-back road games, wherever you're playing, whoever you're playing, they're tough. And you got to give Miami credit. I was surprised Adebayo played. They're going to get Hero back soon. But there's a reason why Spoelstra is going to be our next Olympic coach.
Yes.
That guy is as good as they come. And I'm feeling really old tonight because I remember coaching against Pat Riley. And I met this young guy because I knew his dad who was in marketing for the Trailblazers. And he was doing the video work. And a couple of guys I knew were the assistants, Ronnie Rothstein and Dave Wohl and those guys, and they said, hey, we got a guy here that's going to be special because he's a great guy, smart, and works his tail off. Well, there's something there. The two teams that I respect that have a certain mantra that they bring day in and day out is the San Antonio Spurs and the Miami Heat.
Yep.
And, you know, so with that said, they're playing a guy, Mitchell, at the point that I think Kevin Dana could easily beat in a game of horse. And yet this guy will get you seven assists a game. Well, I believe so. He'll get you seven assists.
I am a pretty good shooter, I will say.
And he's one of the best on-ball defenders we have in the entire league. Nothing special to talk about with Adebayo. And our old pal Wiggins is playing well down there. And,
he is.
Hey, that team's well-coached, and they play at a tough, aggressive nature. And I knew it was going to be tough, but you bring up a great point. For example, I thought Post was terrific. Maybe his best game he's played all year. And it was a confidence game for the bench guys and seeing how they would play.
Again, if you want to hit us up, 888-957-9570. We have Marty in Sacramento who wants to talk a little JK. What's going on, Marty?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Yeah, I'm just curious. I know we got a little injury issue right now, but is he ever going to be the guy? We had this long holdout over the summer and felt like the Warriors maybe should have moved him, and I just don't ever know if he's going to be the guy. What are your thoughts?
Well, Marty, the first thing I think of is one of my famous favorite all-time writers in the NBA, Marty McNeil, who was up there with me when I was coaching the Kings. I love Sacramento. And, Marty, I'm hoping the Kings can get going here. I heard the news on Sabonis this afternoon, and hopefully they can get some wins here because I feel for those guys and all the coaches. Your point about Kuminga, I knew we were going to hit this tonight. We need some more talk, and I think Jimmy Butler's the guy who's doing it right now. I don't know where all this chatter's coming from, Kev. It drives me kind of crazy. You know, oh, no, he's complaining again. And is it his uncle, his agent, and all this kind of – maybe it's just total nonsense chatter. But let's get him back on the floor and play like he did in the beginning of the season. I know he had a stretch where he wasn't making threes, and that can deflate you. But nobody cares about that right now. Do the things you were doing well to help this team win. Your energy, your rebounding, your defense, your assists. Scoring will take care of itself. And I just want the young guy to get out there, and I think he can shut a lot of people's mouths by just getting back out there and playing with a confidence that I think the veterans want him to play with.
Anthony Slater just putting out an article on ESPN today about like the conversations Kuminga is having with Jimmy Butler. For the record, Draymond Green on his podcast said, you know, there's all this talk about, you know, JK being a malcontent, but it's not coming from us because he's been a good teammate. He's not, I forget the exact words he said, but it was something to the extent of he's not this big team cancer that people are making him out to be online, that he has been a good teammate. Whenever I've been around him on the road, he's been a good dude. He's not doing anything like anti-team, you know, he's been a good soldier for lack of a better term. So look, I'm not in there every day. I'm a backup radio guy. I've done 4 games this year, so I'm not around the team all the time, but from what I've seen, he's been a good dude. And look, I'll trust Draymond's word over my own for sure on that. He's around him every day. So Marty, thanks for the call. To go back to the Miami game. And again, if you want to continue talking Kuminga or any other Golden State topic, 888-957-9570 is the number. You mentioned Quentin Post, and it took a while for his three to come around that game, but it really got going in the third quarter. But the thing for me, we've discussed it once before, Quentin Post is a different animal defensively this year. He is so much better on that end of the floor. He's like becoming a pretty legit rim protector, not necessarily in like the vertical, like in front of like a high, like a LeBron James chase down shot block kind of guy, but from like standing his ground in the paint, walling people off and blocking shots this year. He's making it tough for guards around the rim to finish over him. And that's a marked improvement.
I would say 2 weeks ago, you and I talked about him, and I'd said that he's getting his master's degree by just hanging around Al Horford. Yes. And it isn't about the number of shots you block. It's, as you said, walling up and then just contest shots. And if you do that, your defense becomes so much better when you have some rim protection, the guys that can get up vertical and bother so there's no simple layups for the opponent. And I think this guy's working hard. I think he worked very hard in the summertime. And, you know, when he's out of the game, I bet he's got a lot of questions for Al, maybe even for Draymond on rotations and stuff like that. But, you know, I see improvement with this guy, and he has a spot now on this team.
Yeah, he certainly does. Norman Powell really kind of was the difference maker in the fourth quarter. Bam, hit some huge shots. He got up to 20. He had a really slow start in this game out of bio. He got up to 20. Norm Powell finished with like 25. I think it was 16 in the fourth or something like that.
Yeah.
And Norman Powell, Saint, has been a hell of a pickup for the Heat. Look, the Clippers didn't want to pay him the money he was going to get on the open market, so they trade him to the Miami Heat. Obviously, L.A. could really use him right about now, but Norman Powell, I mean, this guy has a chance to be an all-star this year.
You know, there's a lot of deals that are being made by teams that they don't want to make, and they're right up against the second apron. You talked about Clay before. Dallas is up on that second apron.
Yep.
And, you know, they're getting guys going down, and they can't even replace them. And, but, boy, I would have bent over backwards to be able to keep Powell. I just love that guy, whether he's coming off the bench. I was watching him last night, and gosh darn it, he can get to the rim. He's got all three games. He's got the in-between, he's got the three, and he's got the shot at the rim. I'm a fan of his, and Miami was very, very fortunate. And there's another thing about Miami. There's a big guy named Andy Epstein, and he's maybe the best cap guy in the entire NBA. And there was a reason why Miami had some money, and they're diligent. Certain teams are holding out for certain years as to when they're going to have cap space and looking at the free agent market, what's going to be available. Whereas this past year was not a good year for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I think next year is going to be a lot more teams that are going to be active. And by the way, it's supposed to be a very, very special draft.
Yes. Oh, the 2026 draft. You got A.J. DeBonta. You got Darren Peterson. You got Cameron Boozer. You got Nate Amant. And that's just like the top four. This is supposed to be a really deep class. So Dub Nation, Kia's Drive and Score promotion is putting Warriors fans in the driver's seat. purchase or lease any Kia vehicle and get two tickets to a Warriors home game. Offer ends December 23rd. Visit warriors.com/Kia for participating dealers. We'll take a break. Come on back. Take a look ahead to this five-game homestand. Talk some other topics around the NBA and take your calls 888-957-9570 right here on 95.7 The Game.
We've tended to our wounds.
Just a flesh wound.
Look, stop that!
Chicken! What are you going to do, bleed on me?
Now back to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Let's take a look at our upcoming broadcast presented by Ticketmaster. Starting a five-game homestand, the Warriors tomorrow take on the Portland Trailblazers. 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time. That is a Warriors Cup game presented by CarMax. Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert on the call for you all homestand long. Then it continues Monday, November 24th against the Utah Jazz. 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time. Wednesday, November 26th against the Houston Rockets. 6:30 p.m., 7 on the air. Warriors Cup games presented by Pays. Saturday, the 29th, day after Thanksgiving against the New Orleans Pelicans. 5 p.m. on the air, 5:30 tip time. That is Filipino Heritage Night presented by NBC Sports. And then Tuesday, December 2nd against the Oklahoma City Thunder, 7:30 p.m. airtime, 8 p.m. tip time. That's an NBC game. That's why it's an 8 p.m. tip time presented by Waymo. So that is what is coming up. And Gary, you're in the East Bay. The room I am in is currently shaking right now. Are you feeling an earthquake over there?
No, but the other day we had one here in Danville, and MJ came in this office and said, "Did you feel that?" And I said, "No, I didn't feel anything." She looked at me. She said, "You big." No. So you got a good one there?
Okay. I mean, the water is trembling in my water bottle.
Wow.
Like, I feel my chair shaking. Maybe I'm just imagining this, but I like,
well,
during the
used
commercial
to having
break.
The band playing there and all that kind of stuff. So that can cause your room to shake too.
Yeah. Thankfully, I'm in a different room this time. I am on the Stanford campus.
I got the
campus.
Water bottle. Nothing's moving.
Yeah. There we go. Hold on. There's my water bottle. Anyways. So the toughest part of the schedule in the early going is over. You're 9-8 through 17 games in 30 days in 14 cities, mind you. All in all, not bad. It has you in eighth after having played 12 of 17 games on the road. This schedule is going to get easier for Golden State.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Be careful on this first game back. Sometimes your first game back feels like a road game because you've been on the road so darn long. You get home and you're dialing 9 from a hotel room, which is your house, trying to get an outside line. I got to tell you that Portland is – the record's not great. Obviously, we've had the change up there with the coaches. But they haven't changed how they're playing. They committed to playing fast. And they get out and go. I think a tough situation for them is not having Drew Holiday. I think he's been the senior statesman for this team. He's taught a lot of these guys what it's like to compete day in and day out. I love that guy. And so that won't be an easy game. The two toughest games, obviously, are Houston and OKC. And you got to take care of business against the other ones, which you should be favored in.
Yeah. So to that point, Gary, looking at this five-game homestand, three very winnable games and two tough ones. So the goal, from my perspective, 4-1. You split with Houston and OKC. Yeah, you see, you got the four fingers up too. Saying,
four finger, let's go.
And it's not for one for each championship that Steph, Draymond, and Steve Kerr have won. You win the first three, you split Houston and OKC. That puts you at 13-9, and that's right around a 60% winning percentage. That gets you closer to that goal of having a 50-ish win season.
Kev, you and I have broken this down many a night. If you can win 20 or 21 on the road, you've done a fantastic job. And then you win 30 at home, which the Warriors traditionally do, you're going to have a heck of a year because that's going to get you up around 50. Now, for me, there's like four teams. It's the Thunder, the Nuggets, the Rockets, and I think the Minnesota Timberwolves are starting to come on a little bit.
Yeah, they
are playing much better than they were. So then we're talking about, 5-6. So you tell me, who are the premier teams vying for those two spots? The Warriors certainly can get in there. You've had some real disappointments. You brought up the Clippers before. And the Lakers are off to a good start. They're going to play probably four in a row at home, maybe five. And they're playing well. I'm not saying they're playing great, because when you look at their offense and their defense, it's kind of parallel. And they found a way to win late game. They're getting great play out of Doncic and Reeves. And now LeBron comes back last night. So I guess my point is, it's really early here. But if you ask me if we had a horse race, I think they can get in there and be very, very, very competitive.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the Lakers are 11-4. And you said they got some home games coming up. But outside of that, I mean, San Antonio's taken a step back. They don't have Wemby for at least a couple of weeks, you would think, with the calf strains you hate to see.
Kev, they're up 10 in the third against a good Atlanta team that's playing better with it. They're not have Trae Young. And this is with Connect playing your five. So, you know, they're doing a great job.
Yeah, they really are. Things going well. They get LeBron back. We might have time to talk a little bit about year 23 for LeBron at the end of the show. But shifting our gears to the Portland Trail Blazers, you gave a good breakdown of them, Saint, with kind of the injuries they've had recently. Scoot hasn't played all year. Drew Holiday's been out recently. Jeremy Grant didn't play Tuesday against Phoenix. Yep. They've lost three straight, relying on two-way players in the rotation. They're coming off a brutal buzzer-beating loss to the Chicago Bulls, and Nikola Vucevic hitting the game-winning three last night. But what do you think of the job Tiago Splitter has done filling in after Chauncey Billups got caught up in the FBI probe?
You know, he's got some pedigree with the Spurs.
Yes, he does.
And I think I'm right. And anybody who's been around that organization takes a lot from it. He's not real vociferous on the sideline, but I don't think anything's changed. I like the effort of their team. Like you said, Grant has been playing really well. Henderson, you know, torn hamstring. We haven't even seen him. You know, Sharp's a good young player, but inconsistent as far as scoring the ball. And it's a game you should win. You should take care of business. Now, I'm hoping Steph's going to be okay. There's another day here before they play on Friday. So this couple of days rest, you got a lot of guys nicked up. And this is good for the veteran guys and for the young guys. Let's get out there and give a great performance.
Yeah, I was just looking at Slater's Twitter feed or X feed. Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, Buddy Hield, all probable against Portland tomorrow night. Steph is cleared for return. Kuminga still out with knee tendonitis. So that's the latest injury update.
Really?
That's unfortunate. Those knees are
it
tricky.
Is tendon, because,
yeah.
Kev, here's my hands right here. It's laid on a silver platter for you. If this guy comes back, we loved what he was doing. He was the X factor. He was whether he was starting or coming off the bench, whatever works there. But there's a game there that can really, really help this team.
Yep. That is for sure. So first game back after a long road trip. That's an old cliche in the NBA. You touched on that earlier, Saint, for Portland. What makes that game so tough?
It's just you've been flying all around the country and you get back and, you know, if you're married and you got kids, your wife, maybe she wants a night to go out with her girlfriends and you get to take care of the kids and babysit or whatever. Or, gosh, I don't feel good. I need you to go to Safeway or Lunardi's or whatever. And, you know, things get thrown in your lap. And it's just back in the old way of doing things, and you're a little uncomfortable because you haven't been around for 10 days or 11 days. So it is a change. There's no doubt about it.
So this Portland game is an NBA Cup game. Everyone in Golden State's group C, you mentioned it, with Denver, Portland, San Antonio, and Houston. So because of that 25-point loss to Denver, you're minus 24 after the one-point win. That's the worst point differential. So the best road for the Warriors to winning the group is you need Denver to win another game, because point differential is the number two tiebreaker. Head-to-head is the number one. So if Denver loses another game, the Warriors win out, which they have two home games, which is doable with Portland and Houston. Golden State can win Group C. That because you would have, whether, you know, if San Antonio wins out and the Warriors win out, the Warriors have the tiebreaker with San Antonio. So you'd want one other team to be 3-1, because a multi-way tiebreaker, then you get point differential involved.
Then you get into the points.
Yeah. Yep. You're either going to have to blow out Portland or Houston, or have some other teams drop games for you. So that's kind of what the Warriors are looking at right now if they want to make their second cup quarterfinal in as many years.
You know, this a lot of people were questioning how this would be received by the fans, by the players. You know, the players, I think, have really taken a competitive role in this thing. They put something in front of them. There's obviously some cash involved, but they like this, I think. And I think the fans, it's growing on them. It's you know, you and I like soccer, and it's a page out of their book. They got enough tournaments to go on for the whole year. So you're right. Keep on winning and maybe get a little help. And I'm not sure about Denver losing. My gosh. The Joker had a game the other night. I was watching the highlights of these passes he threw, Kev. My gosh. He was up around the elbow, and he didn't even look. He just went right over his shoulder, and there was a guy under the basket. I think it was Watson. And I'm like, how did he see him? And it's amazing to watch the guy. And I said this before. I love the two guys as GMs, the same thing we're seeing in Dallas now. They made some great moves. They've really strengthened their bench. And that's a darn good team. They really are. And we're going to talk maybe about Houston. That team there is so unconventional. They don't shoot a lot of threes, but they just pound you on the offensive glass and scoring in the paint. And then they got that guy, the old guy there. What's his name? KD?
Kevin Durant.
He's another one of these guys. They look and send a guy up to set a high pick, late clock. You know what he does?
Yeah.
Get out of here. Get out of here. I'm watching the game the other night, and I yelled to MJ, watch this. He was at the top of the key. He's going to go left, and he's going to knock it in after two dribbles. You know what he's going to do, and you can't stop the guy.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
He is amazing for sure. I mean, it's still doing this at this age. Oh, absolutely
fantastic.
Incredible stuff. But I mean, you mentioned Jokic. I just got to bring up, did you see that game against Clippers he had last week? And he had like 55 points.
55.
I mean,
25 in the first quarter.
Yeah, he had a stretch of two games. Yeah, 25 in the first quarter, exactly.
Yeah.
The Clippers decided to play him straight up because, like, he had never won a game where he scored 50 points or something. Then he mentioned after, I finally got one. But, like, he had a two-game stretch where he was 34 of 42 from the field, which is better than 80% over not a small sample size. Like, I mean, at one point this year, he was shooting 68% on the season as of last week. I don't know what that number is now, but it's just ridiculous what this guy's doing.
Marvel at him.
Yeah.
Kev, can you imagine how much fun it is playing with him?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you just pull the string and you beat your guy by two steps, you're going to get the ball for a layup. I mean, it's amazing. And, you know, these are some – you mentioned there's three winnable games. We'll talk about those. But Houston – boy, Sengun is playing fabulous. They're not even playing a point guard. Thompson, who grew up in Oakland, he's playing terrific. And, you know, then you fast forward to OKC the beginning of the next week, and I'm just marveling at what they're doing. Yeah. It is what SGA's doing. And, wow, it's really, really impressive.
The Thunder are 15-1. They're coming off a 16-point win over the Sacramento Kings. There was some stat, I forget exactly what it was, but like I mean, SGA hasn't played in like half of the fourth quarters this year or something like that. It's unbelievable just because they are waxing teams. And the first two games of the season, they win both in double overtime. And then they've just been just running roughshod over the entire NBA. They become, I think, the fourth team, the fourth defending champion to start a season 15-1 or better. Of course, 10 years ago, the Warriors started 24-0, so they're on that list. The 01-02 Lakers started 15-1, and the 96-97 Bulls, after that 72-win season, started 15-1 the next year. I believe they won 69 games that season. To me, 70 wins is certainly in play for Oklahoma City. I mean, they won 68 last year. How many regular season wins do you think the Thunder can get this year?
Let's keep in mind our man Williams from Santa Clara
hasn't
been on the court. Second best player on your team. Dort missed like five games here.
Yeah.
And yet they keep playing these guys. Kev, there's a guy playing. Is his name Wallace?
There's you got Cason Wallace?
I didn't even know who he was. And the guy's doing a great job for them. And
are you thinking of A.J. Mitchell?
That guy too.
A.J. Mitchell, UCSD.
You should be a bottom feeder because they can't pay all of these guys. And then you look at their draft picks the next 2 years. It's phenomenal. They got some picks that are unprotected, and
the Clippers, number one.
For those guys, I'll tell you a little secret why.
Okay.
Because the GM's from Massachusetts and the coach is from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. I remember reading a Boston Globe article that, like, Sam Presti, when he was in high school, wrote into the Boston Globe or wrote to the GM of the Celtics at the time saying why they should trade for Jason Kidd, I believe was the move he suggested.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I read that.
Yeah.
So he went to Concord Carlisle, which is, you know, the Battle of the British, Concord and Lexington. So my wife, MJ, went to that school. And he knew. So I went up to him one day and I said, hey, I know who the football coach is, and I know who your biology teacher was. He looked at me like I was insane, and I told him the story. And this guy here, let me tell you again, where did he get his feet wet? San Antonio.
San Antonio.
Went to Emerson College outside of Boston. Nice liberal arts school. And he's as good as we have in the NBA. He's got a stockpile there that can last them for a long, long time. And the coach, that young guy, was with Jim Calhoun at UConn as a manager.
Yep.
And again, I knew Jim Calhoun when he played at American International College in Springfield, where Mario Elie went. And Jim was a great coach at UConn, and he got his breaking in there. And then he went on. Where did he go? He was in the G League coaching.
Yep, and Oklahoma City Blue for 5 years.
Yeah, so you know what? I love those stories about guys. It's great. I love listening to that.
Yeah, he was also an assistant at Holy Cross. I just got to bring up all the Massachusetts connections that I can. Yeah,
you got me there.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey,
so
Cousy, Heinsohn.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just checking on you. I love that.
Big time. Yeah. So, yeah, we got a few minutes left here. Did want to shift gears a little bit to Utah because that's the game after on Monday. The Jazz, they said going into the season that they weren't going to overtly tank. They've won some games. They've been hanging around the 10 seed in the West. Lauri Markkanen having a huge bounce back season. I really like Keontae George. Utah's going to be a tougher out than I think some people think. Coming into this year, they got some good dudes there.
Yes, they do. And Kessler's out for the year, who I love. Shoulder surgery. But I watched their whole game the other night against the Lakers, and I didn't know anything about that guy George. Well, the first half he went for like 22 or 24. He could not miss. A little bit thin, but Greg, my son, gave me the breakdown. Inconsistent, and but yet there's a game there. Now, Markkanen, I said, Greg, is he really 7'1"? Well, Dad, he's at least 7 feet. And my gosh, is he playing beautiful basketball. Wow. Yeah. Now, their coach went to Williams College, up in Massachusetts, up in the Berkshires, up in the corner of the state, one of the best academic schools in the entire state, played 4 years there. And I want you to watch their offense when we play them. They've changed their offense. They're really not a lot of picks on the ball. It's a lot of hard cutting and then driving the ball hard. They're running what we call a lot of slip screens, meaning I start underneath the hoop. Kevin's up around the free throw line or the top of the key. I go up to set a pick, and if I don't feel my man right next to me, I go hard back door. And what they look for is that pass from in the middle of the court to the guy slipping to the hoop. And I was really, really impressed with them in the first half. The Lakers were very, very fortunate that they had LeBron, because they needed him in a big way in the second half. But don't take that game lightly, because they had a string, Kev, where two out of three games they scored 150 points.
Yeah, they had that Bulls a double OT win, 150 to 147. Yes. It's just, I mean, they can put them up. That's going to be an interesting game. Of course, it's one that the Warriors feel like they should win, but these games are not played on paper. You got to go out there and actually do it. So those are the first two games of the homestand. It's nice to have 2 days in between games at home for the Warriors, especially after the starts of the season they've had with the 17 games in the first 30 days of this season. Well, that does it for us this week. A big thank you to Marika Kleto behind the scenes for the Warriors, RC Davis, our producer, Mark Grandy running things behind the scenes at our 95.7 The Game studios. We'll be back with you next week as the Warriors continue their homestand throughout the week and look to get back on the winning track starting tomorrow night against the Portland Trailblazers. Again, you can listen to that game at 7 p.m. tip time, 6:30 on the air with Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert on the call right here on 95.7 The Game. Thank you for tuning in, folks. Have a great rest of your evening.
Thank you for joining the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Step, left wing, three, cha-ching! 58-41, Darvin Ham says, I want to take a timeout, because this one is over.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
Well, you have to know these things when you're a king, you know.